Now we turn from politics to sports. The matchup for Super Bowl 44 is set. Yesterday, the Indianapolis Colts had to come from behind to beat the New York Jets to advance to the big game, while the New Orleans Saints went into overtime to squeak past the Minnesota Vikings to secure their spot. This year's Super Bowl will be played in Miami and features two of the most explosive offenses in all of football. And here to talk more about this is Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle.
Well, first of all, speak very softly because, you know, my Jets went down the tube, so I'm still kind of
New
feeling
York
a little sensitive. I'm feeling a little sensitive.
Yeah, but, I feel you.
But there were four great stories, I think.
Yep.
you and I agree, going into the weekend's contest. So let's talk about how each of the teams got there. Let's talk about the Saints battling the Vikings. What was exciting about that game?
Yeah, I mean, it was in New Orleans. I think New Orleans has a team that really, I mean, you don't want to use hyperbole too much in sports, although every tabloid and SI Times itself does. But, you know, the Saints have been the emotional center, the emotional ballast of the team. They've embraced the city. The city has embraced them back, obviously, in the years since Hurricane Katrina. The city's still recovering, and they've never made the Super Bowl before. But they have this great offense led by Drew Brees, who's really, you know, not since Brett Favre in Green Bay, ironically, have we seen a man who's so identified with his adopted city. And so it's this great storyline of sort of human tragedy coming back to sort of getting in the first Super Bowl. I mean, these fans used to be so embarrassed to call themselves Saints fans that they used to wear paper bags and call themselves the Aints to games. And so to have this kind of turnaround is really amazing. And so bringing that to New Orleans, having that momentum into the Super Bowl, I mean, they had the emotional cards all ready to be played there.
And speaking of Brett Favre, okay, those of us who are over 40, you haven't crossed that bridge. But for those of us who have, talk about Brett Favre.
Yeah, I mean, he was a former Jets quarterback. There are all these intermingling lines of storylines here, but he was a former Jets quarterback who was retiring and unretiring, flip-flopping over and over and over again, to the point where he seemed like you were interviewing a politician at certain points. You know, what's he going to do? Who's he catering to now? But he signed with the Vikings. People had very low expectations of him, outside of the fact that most folks didn't like him because he just had all the spotlight, hadn't done anything yet. But this season, he proved that he was actually MVP worthy, having the best season arguably of his career, you know, pushing 40, over 40, and brought the Vikings to the brink against the Saints, and again went into overtime, lost by a field goal, but he made a crucial Brett Favre-ian mistake, throwing an interception into tight coverage at the end of the game there, which sort of sealed their fates.
Which
and everyone,
he did 2 years ago in his last game as a Green Bay Packer,
against the Giants,
overtime streak. And of course, there's the whole, in fact, his whole Willie or Wony kind of Hamlet-like quality has become so well known that they've actually done commercials about it, sort of featuring his indecision as a factor in the commercials. Again, the question is, will he or will he not retire?
And that's the question again.
Well, let's just play what he had. He talked about that, as you might imagine, after the game yesterday, and here's what he had to say.
And I know people rolling their eyes or will roll their eyes in a situation like this. I really don't want to make a decision right now based solely on what's happened, because I do know the year could not have gone any better aside from us not going to Miami. I really enjoy the guys, and I just wonder if I can hold up, you know, especially after a day like today, physically and mentally. That was pretty draining.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. Willie or won't he?
He will.
He'll come back?
At this point, I think, given his history, he needs to be physically dragged away from a football stadium in order to not suit up and play. He's genetically hardwired to know nothing else beyond playing football. So I even if his body's breaking down, which it is, I have a feeling he'll be out there and he'll have to be forcibly removed before he stops playing in the NFL.
All right, let's talk about the other match of the AFC Championship game. Until yesterday, the Jets were the story, and I say that without any bias at all, of course, as a native of New Yorker. And so how were the Colts able to beat them?
Well, it was funny. I mean, on all these local news channels, they had this sort of narrative prepared where they were going to watch the game with Jets fans, and then after the game, they'd go to them. And it turned out just to be this very sad, like a series of very sad segments where you just had people predicting in the second quarter, oh, the Jets are going to win this, you know, shades of Joe Namath. And then by the end, the Colts roared back and just became the methodical offense that they were behind Peyton Manning. And inevitably, everyone was sort of weeping into their green jerseys and their beer. No offense to you, Michelle.
That hurt. Ouch. That hurt. Yeah. Speaking of weeping. But, you know, there was, it's funny that because you had the Brett Favre story on the one hand, on the other hand, you've got this freshman
quarterback Mark Sanchez,
which is his own great story. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, you know, a guy who came in, you know, had the Madden-eyed looks, seemed like a New York-type player who thrived in the spotlight, flourished at the beginning, then struggled in the middle, and people thought, oh, maybe he's just too young, he can't handle the pressure. His coach at USC, Pete Carroll, said it was a mistake for him to come to the NFL, became the caretaker of an offense with a great running game, got further than anybody thought they would. This is the Jets making the AFC Championship is surpassing expectations even then. So the Jets on the bright side are set up with a great future in Mark Sanchez.
And finally, on the Indianapolis side, I mean, it seems like only yesterday we were talking about the former coach Tony Dungy vying to be the first African-American to lead his team to a Super Bowl win. Now, if current coach Jim Caldwell wins with the Colts, it'll be the third black coach in 4 years to achieve that. So I don't know. Are we missing a good story here about diversity in the NFL?
I think we are, and I think the Rooney rule is sort of vindicated here. I mean, it's sort of that sort of, obviously, it's just a thing that people, that teams do as a matter of course to make sure they not offend anybody, basically. But what we're proving empirically is that it's not just something you need to consider in the course of things. It should be a spotlight, a focus, I mean, on the hiring process. Jim Caldwell is a huge story, in my opinion.
Okay.
He's a guy. Hard to do that.
It's hard. I got to put you on the spot. So who is it? Who gets the trophy?
Colts 28, Saints 27. Peyton Manning didn't even lift the AFC trophy above his head. He was looking to the Super Bowl as soon as the bell rung at the end of that game.
Oh, man. Well. We'll hold you to it. Pablo Torre is a reporter for Sports Illustrated. He was kind enough to join us from our New York studios. He's also a barbershop regular. Thanks, Pablo.
Of course.